thing we have to fear is
in war, fear itself. There is no substitute for victory.
Let us never negotiate out of fear.
We stand undivided, forever united, fighting hand in hand for the liberty we burn, for glory and honor, for our sons and daughters, ever mindful of the lessons we've learned. Let the torch of freedom burn.
Welcome to the intersection of faith and politics, Wall Builders Live with David Barton and Rick Green. We appreciate you joining us today. Visit us online at wallbuilderslive.com. By the way, that website has a list of all of our stations. If you're listening online now, you may have a station airing the program right there in your community and not aware of it. They're all listed right there on the website. And if you'd like to get us on a station close to you, you can take links to our program, send it out to that local station, or maybe send us an email, radio@wallbuilders.com, recommending some local stations there. Also visit our sister website, wallbuilders.com, where you can get all kinds of powerful materials, lots of great articles and news on the website every day to keep you plugged into what's going on out there. David, we've been talking a lot about the culture and how to impact it effectively. We've got several pastors coming up in the next few weeks to talk about what they've been doing and kind of what they see in the church. It does seem like there's some growth in the church. You've got the website on the Black Robed Regiment there on Wall Builders. There's more and more pastors that are saying, I want to be part of that. I want to stand up and speak. But man, there's still a lot of them that are shying away from speaking to the culture and actually applying scripture.
Well, that, you know, one of the things that the scripture is really clear on is traditional marriage. I mean, Jesus has multiple teachings on that. Matthew 19 is a great example. Teaching man and wife says, don't you remember how it was in the beginning? Man and wife, God did that. He said it's good. He stopped it right there. So there's a lot of teachings on marriage, and yet you look at a state like Minnesota, and you have probably the two largest evangelical churches in the state where the pastors are refusing to take a stand on marriage. They just won't do it. Now, I don't know, maybe between the two churches of 30, 40,000 people, that's enough to win the marriage amendment by itself. And yet you have these two pastors that will not take a stand on that. So that's not an acceptable thing for the church to do if it's going to try to maintain any type of culture. If you don't mind losing the nation, losing the culture, then keep your mouth shut. But you got to have more courage. And one of the guys who has had a lot of courage on this is a guy named Bob Russell. He's a pastor over in Kentucky. And years ago, Bob had me come and speak at his church. And I'll tell you, it was a real experience, Rick. I went to that church, and on the outside, it looks like a basketball arena. It's in Kentucky, Lexington, where there's two interstates that have a crossroads there. It sits right in the intersection of off to the side of these two crossroad interstates. And I got inside. I've never been in a church like this in my life. It is a massive, huge mega church. And as I recall, there's five levels in it. It has escalators to move you between the levels in the church. I felt like I was in a shopping mall on the inside. And so... But he really speaks out in the culture. I mean, he is bold and unabashed, and he has a huge crowd. And it was really funny. So much did that church look like a basketball arena that they actually had some guys stop in one day who were driving down the interstate. And here's this, you know, this round church, five levels high, all these escalators, big old cross on top of the church, and it looks like a basketball arena. And these guys stopped in and said, wow, you guys really take your basketball seriously here in Kentucky, don't you? Across on top of the arena, you know? So it's a church, but we thought, you know, Bob Russell just did an article on this about how the church has to regain its voice, has to step up, got to have some leadership out of pastors, and thought he would be a good guy to talk about this necessity of needing a voice back into the culture, clarion voice.
Well, and what a great guy to do it, because what an example. A lot of pastors aren't speaking, or people in the church don't want them to speak to these issues because they're afraid everybody's going to leave. Well, here's a guy that was never afraid to speak on the issues and had a church grow to nearly 20,000 people. So it's a great example that people are hungry for that truth and that moral clarity. We're thrilled to have him on with us. Back in a moment, Bob Russell here on Wall Builders Live.
This is David Barton with another moment from America's history. Around 1790, the infamous Thomas Paine wrote his Age of Reason, attacking religion and Christianity. Interestingly, one of the strongest defenders against Paine's attack was Benjamin Franklin. In fact, he stiffly rebuked Paine and told him, "He that spits in the wind spits in his own face." Do you imagine any good would be done by this attack against religion? Think how great a portion of mankind consists of youth who have need of the motives of religion to restrain them from vice, to to support their virtue. I would advise you not to attempt unchaining the tiger, but to burn this piece before it is seen by any other person. If men are so wicked with religion, what would they be if without it? Benjamin Franklin believed that the practice of religion was one of the greatest assets of American society.
For more information on God's hand in American history, contact Wall Builders at 1-800-8-REBUILD.
Let the torch of freedom burn.
Welcome back to the intersection of faith and politics. Wall Builders Live with David Barton and Rick Green. Thank you so much for staying with us. You've probably seen some of the calls for Christians to stop bringing the Bible into all these debates about public policy and the different things happening in our culture today. Well, a great voice on that debate itself is Pastor Bob Russell. He founded and pastored one of the largest churches in America, 18,000 folks there. Pastor Russell, we appreciate you so much coming on, sir.
Well, I'm glad to be on. Thanks for asking me.
Hey, great article that you wrote on this. Should the Bible have a place in America's civil discourse? We've heard this over and over again. You know, we're just a bunch of Bible thumpers if we bring up anything out of the Word of God when we're addressing the culture today. What say you?
Well, I think we've got several problems with that. And the first is we're ignoring history altogether. I mean, there's so many quotes from our founding fathers and from leaders in our government down through the years that the Bible was the source of right and wrong. Every society has to have some kind of common consensus to determine what's right, what is right, and what is wrong. And the genius of America was that it was generally understood that the Bible was the source of authority.
Why are people afraid of a speaker or even a congressman in the middle of a debate mention a verse out of the Bible? I mean, it's okay to quote Shakespeare. It's okay to, you know, quote just about anything, but you quote the Bible and everybody gets on edge.
Well, maybe it's sometimes the manner in which we do it, but I think when they object, they ignore history. But probably the most important contributing factor is what Jesus had to say about that. He said, light has come into the world, but men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. And the further we drift away from what God intended us to be and to behave, the more we want to reject the Bible altogether. Mm. And just instinctively, their carnal nature rejects it.
That's great. You got, so really, there's, you made two huge points there. One, you kind of just blew over, but I want to get you to expound on it a little bit. Maybe the way we've done it in the past, where even the term Bible thumper came from, where we came across, maybe not us, but generations past, you know, whoever, self-righteous and just literally hitting people over the head with the Word of God instead of doing it in love. That's probably a big factor. And then the other factor is darkness doesn't want the light. So the minute you start talking about a moral absolute, and when we talk about the Bible, they know that's what's coming. We're actually saying there is a right and wrong. Now we're putting their position in jeopardy, which, because their position is let everybody do whatever they want.
Yeah, if you don't regard the Bible as a source of right and wrong, what are you going to use? Well, you're going to use personal feelings. You know, the feelings that we have are so unreliable. And the Bible says there's a way that seems right unto man, the end of the ways of death. Are you going to use legal authority? You know, you got Justice Ginsburg on one side and Justice Scalia on the other, and the authorities disagree with each other. Are you going to use majority opinion? You know, the majority were drowned in the flood because they gravitated to evil in Noah's day. The majority voted for Hitler. J. Vernon McGee once said, sometimes the majority opinion just means you got a lot of fools in one place.
That's the truth.
All of a sudden, what are you going to use as your moral consensus as a nation? I love that quote from Robert Winthrop, who was the Speaker of the House in about 1849. He said, men, in a word, must necessarily be controlled either by a power within them or a power without them, either by the word of God or by the strong arm of man, either by the Bible or the bayonet.
Mm.
And we see chaos in cities like Chicago and other places because there is no understanding of right and wrong, and we have to rule by the bayonet, by the strong arm of man.
I wonder if that's why I can't even remember what it was that I was reading, but I just read somewhere that the number of criminal actions, even at the federal level, has gotten so big. It's gone up to like 4,000 different offenses, and there's so many different departments, they don't even know how many actual criminal offenses there are on the
on the books? Does government have to step in more and more with the strong, as you said, the strong arm of the law, as we move away from the Word of God, because we don't have a standard of right and wrong? So we've got to have, you know, more police structure in our lives.
I think that quote by Robert Winthrop kind of predicted that. And, you know, it's so popular today to say there is no such thing as absolute truth. And as a result, when you said earlier that people say, well, we're a Bible thumper, now, we do need to speak the truth in love. There's no question about that. However, there's another passage that says, if any man speaks, let him do so as one speaking the very words of God. When we're quoting Scripture, that there's a certain authority that goes along with that. And men buckle up against that and dig their heels in against that because they don't want any authority in their life. They want to determine right and wrong on their own.
Do you think, Pastor, from what you've seen, I mean, there's definitely those that don't want to hear it at all, but is there also a large portion of our country right now that is hungry for moral clarity, that they want someone to say there is a right and wrong and begin to define it because they're tired of just kind of flapping in the wind?
Well, you know, it's amazing to me as I've visited college campuses and spoken to some Christian groups on college campuses, how eager some young people are for somebody to say it straight.
Yeah.
I was amazed. I was telling a friend of mine recently that I seem to go over better on the college campus now that I'm almost 70 years old than I did 20, 25 years ago. I said, you know, they must look at me as a father figure. They said, oh, no, they don't like their mom and dad. They look at you as a grandfather figure. They like their grandparents. But you know, when I go to college campuses, I think there is a remnant, not the majority, but there is a remnant of kids who are really hungry for some moral direction, for a solid foundation in their lives. And, you know, Rick, one of the things we do when we say, okay, I'll not quote the Bible, I'll not refer to Scripture, if we concede that point, we take out the most powerful weapon that we have. Hebrews 4 says, the Word of God is living and active, sharper than a double-edged sword. It's able to penetrate the thoughts and the intent of the heart. I preached for over 40 years, and the more I preached, the more confident I became in the power of the Bible in itself. There's something mystical that happens, something supernatural that happens when God's Word is brought to bear on the lives of men. And that's why it's so resisted, because it is so powerful. And I saw time and time again that people would come to me and they say, I came to church struggling with a problem, and I couldn't get over it. You preached on that very subject that day, and it really helped me, and I just want to thank you.
Mm.
Well, I'm amazed at that, and I feel good about that till I look at what I preached about, and it had nothing to do with their problem. But there was some little passage of Scripture that the Holy Spirit used to get into the nook and cranny of their life and convict them. And I just saw that over and over again. So when we say, okay, I'll not bring the Bible up because you're going to call me a Bible thumper, or you don't think that I ought to have a place in the public discourse or separation of church and state, we're conceding the most powerful weapon that we have.
Taking it out of our hands. Got to take a quick break. Pastor, when we come back, I want to ask you about how we get the Bible back to the point that the founders believed that it should be the bedrock, that it should be the place we go for right and wrong. Pastor Bob Russell is our guest. The website, bobrussell.org. Get on there. Get on his email list as well. Just great teaching that you want to continue to feed into your life. Back in a moment here on Wall Builders Live.
This is David Barton with another moment from America's history. In several decisions over recent years, the Supreme Court has consistently ruled that it is unconstitutional for the government to encourage religion. Did our founding fathers agree with this? Consider the words of Henry Lawrence, a signer of the Constitution and a president of Congress. Henry Lawrence declared, "I had the honor of being one who framed that Constitution. In order effectually to accomplish these great ends set forth in the Constitution, it is especially the duty of those who bear rule to promote and encourage respect for God and virtue, and to discourage every degree of vice and immorality." Founding Father Henry Lawrence believed that the goals of the Constitution could not be fulfilled apart from a fear and a respect for God, and that it was therefore the duty of government to encourage this among the people.
For more information on God's hand in American history, contact Wall Builders at 1-800-8-REBUILD.
Let the torch of freedom burn.
Welcome back. Thanks for staying with us here on Wall Builders Live. Pastor Bob Russell with us. The website, bobrussell.org. We're going to have a link today with the article about whether or not the Bible should be used in our public discourse. And Pastor, obviously, you know, and you list multiple powerful examples in the article of where the founders quoted from the Bible. I mean, I think Franklin had 11 or 12 different verses in that speech at the Constitutional Convention. And like you said, when we don't do that, when we take that out of our vernacular and we no longer use that, we're losing our greatest weapon. Those guys, as students of history and students of the Bible, understood the importance of having it. How do we get back to that point where the general public again respects the Word of God and wants that foundation of right and wrong, and as a society we agree that the Bible is the place that we get that?
Well, I think one thing, we need to be informed ourselves, not only about some of these quotes from history, but we need to have an adequate understanding of what the Scripture says so that we can quote it. You know, we're told in the Bible, study to show yourselves approved unto God, workmen who don't need to be ashamed, rightly handling the word of truth. Or Peter says, always be ready to give a reason for the hope that you have. So every one of us need to be a student of Scripture so that we have a grasp of it, that we can quote the right verse, or we can refer to the right principle. But the second thing, and I think this is so important, that we don't allow the ACLU or people around us to determine what is legal and what is not. I recently had a talk to Christian educators. A group of educators got together here in Louisville to talk about how they could have more of an influence in the public school. And it amazes me how many of them back off immediately if there is a threat of a lawsuit, or if somebody says that's you're violating separation of church and state. The guidelines are much more liberal for us speaking up than we allow them to be.
We cower down pretty quick, don't we?
We back down really quickly, and I think we need to have some courage and some boldness, and not let somebody's objection immediately allow us to draw the conclusion that it's illegal. We need some more J-Seculos and people who are willing to go to court and defend what we're allowed to say and what we're not.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Last thing I want to ask you about is just the fact that not only when we go to the Bible is there a clear concept of right and wrong, not only is God right in the way we ought to live, but doesn't it work best? I mean, when we actually follow, I mean, some people think, oh, that's constraints, it's keeping me from doing what I want to do. But hasn't history taught us that when you follow the path that he's laid out for us there, you're actually going to have more joy and more freedom in your life?
You know, an example I like to use about that is that when you go up on an expressway, there's a sign as you on the entry ramp that says, no non-motorized traffic, no hitchhiking, no stopping except for emergency, no crossing median. There are all kinds of rules. And once you get on there, there might be a maximum and a minimum speed limit, and all kinds of guidelines, more rules on an expressway than any other highway. Now, if we say, I don't like these rules, I'm going to stop and have a picnic here. I'm going to go the other direction. I'm going to go 150 miles an hour. It'd be chaos. It's those basic guidelines that make that the safest and the best route to our destination. In fact, we sometimes call it a freeway. And the very guidelines are what make that highway effective. And if everybody's obeying the guidelines, it is the safest, quickest, best route to our destination. God didn't give us the guidelines in Scripture to take away our joy. He didn't give us because he's a tyrant wanting to destroy our happiness. He's saying, here's the best blueprint for a good life here. And when we follow them, we're blessed, not only individually, but as a nation. And when we disregard them, we're like Jesus said, like the foolish man that builds his house on the sand, and when the storm comes, it collapses.
Mm. And history proves, I mean, the results are undeniable. When we did that as a nation and followed that as our guidebook, it led to the greatest, most powerful, most free, most prosperous nation in in history, and the further we move away from it, the more trouble we seem to have. So it ought to be obvious to us. I guess we just got to speak the truth more, and like you said, we got to study ourselves. We got to know the truth to be able to speak with that moral clarity and do it with love as well. Pastor, God bless you, man. We appreciate what you're doing. We appreciate you coming on and spending time with us today.
Well, I appreciate you asking and appreciate what you're doing.
You bet. Thank you very much. That's Pastor Bob Russell back in a moment with David Barton. Have you noticed the vacuum of leadership in America? It's not just that we have a few bad leaders taking us away from our founding principles and down a road to destruction. The real challenge is that we're looking around for leaders of principle to step up, and too often, no one is there. This is a generational challenge, and we must have a generational solution. God is raising up a generation of young leaders with a passion for impacting the world around them. They're crying out for the mentorship and leadership training they need, and we need to equip them for the purpose God has laid on their hearts. Patriot Academy was created to meet that need. You, the listeners of Wall Builders Live, have supported Patriot Academy over the years. You've sent your children and grandchildren to the program, and the results have been remarkable. Patriot Academy graduates now serve in state capitals around America, in the halls of Congress, in business, in the film industry, in the pulpit, in every area of the culture. They're leading effectively and impacting the world around them. Patriot Academy is now expanding across the nation, and now's your chance to experience this life-changing week that trains champions to change the world. Visit patriotacademy.com for dates and locations. Our core program is still for young leaders 16 to 25 years old, but we also now have a citizen track for adults. So visit the website today to learn more. Help us fill the void of leadership in America. Join us in training champions to change the world at patriotacademy.com. Welcome back. Thanks for staying with us here on Wall Builders Live. Special thanks to Pastor Bob Russell. What a great example, David. I hope we can influence a lot of pastors out there to get bold like Bob has been.
Yeah, and I love what he was saying, too, because he said, if you don't regard the Bible as a source of right and wrong, and by the way, Abraham Lincoln, his famous quote was, but for the Bible, we could not know right from wrong. But Bob said, if you don't regard the Bible as a source of right and wrong, what are you going to use? Is it feelings? Modern legal authorities? And you know, he points to the Supreme Court, and he's right. I mean, in a period of 17 years, the court goes from saying sodomy is wrong to sodomy is right. In 5 years, they go from saying you can't display nativity scenes, you can't display. I mean, they keep flipping back and forth on so many issues. You don't want that. And he said majority opinion. Well, I love his definition, a lot of fools in one place. I mean, the majority was outside the ark. You know, what did majority mean back in Noah's day? So you really have to come back to the Bible as the basis of authority, and a lot of churches need to do that. They've got to come back, despite what the culture says, despite what you know others may say about it. They're going to have to take that position. And you know, it's interesting that now we're even getting so much flack and feedback for taking the Bible position, even from folks within the church. I mean, Timothy, who's on the radio program a lot of times, is not on today because we have a new group of interns that's coming to Wall Builders, and so he's taking the interns through and getting them set up. But he did a graduation not long ago, and homeschool graduation, Christian graduation, and he told these kids, look, you're going to be out fighting the culture war. I mean, God sent you to the earth for this time, and he knew that right now in America, we're having to fight abortion, we're having to fight homosexual marriage, we're having to fight all these things in the culture, and God sent you for this time. And man, the Christian parents went through the roof, said, how dare you inject politics into a graduation? Wait a minute, it's a Christian graduation. Homeschool graduation. What do you mean injecting politics? This is Bible. Abortion,
and
homosexual.
Life. It's life. It's about life.
It's about life. I mean, this is what you're going to face when you leave graduation today. What do? Stick your head in the sand? So, I mean, we really have to get back to the Bible as being the basis of right and wrong. And Christians, more than anybody else, have to get back to the Bible as the basis of rights and wrongs. But I really wasn't encouraged with what Bob was saying about when he's speaking to you know, younger groups. He talked about the remnant of kids who are really hungry for moral direction, who want a solid foundation in their lives. And, man, that's the ones that we target, and that's the ones that we want to help. And that's why we got interns in at Wall Builders this week, and that's why we do Patriot Academy and all the things. Those are the kids who will make a difference in the nation that we go after.
And it's encouraging to see their response, even if their parents are saying, oh, we don't want to talk about that, we don't want to get involved in that. These kids are saying, wait a minute, I want to do something. I want to be active. Yeah. That Matthew West song about do something, you know, in that song, he starts off talking about, you know, complaining, looking around at the world and saying, God, why don't you do something? God, why are you letting these things happen in my country? And God said, I did do something. I created you. I made you to go do these things. That's what we're supposed to be, is the hands and the feet.
That's exactly good. You know, that's that joke that's always told about the guy who gets caught in a flood and prays that God will save him from the flood. And, you know, here comes a helicopter. He says, no, God's going to save me. And here comes a boat. No, God's going to save me. You know, three times. And then he drowns. He said, God, I prayed for you to save me. And God said, well, I sent you a helicopter. I sent you a boat. You didn't do anything. And that's literally where we are now. We've got clear guidance in His Word. That's all it takes. That's all we need. Now we've got to do something with that. And you know, Bob is the guy who's doing that. I mean, he is a clarion voice of what's right and wrong. And who cares what the culture says? Here's what God says. And God's Word works all the time. It's kind of like, you know, I really don't care whether you like the laws of gravity or not. You can disagree with them. The majority can vote against them. Laws of gravity are still going to be there. And that's the way the rights and wrongs in the Bible are. So that's a book Christians have to get back into. They have to start reading the Bible. You know, our challenge throughout this year has been, Christians, commit yourself to read through the Bible from cover to cover once this year. In the next 12 months, go through the Bible cover to cover, and we've got to get that injected back into ourselves and then back into the society.
We can do something, and what a country to be able to do it in. We have the freedom to take those biblical principles and apply them to all these issues. Just think, if you lived in a nation where you weren't allowed to read the Bible, you weren't allowed to speak of the Bible, we don't want to become that. And so we've got to use the tools that God's given us and the freedom that we have. Special thanks to Pastor Bob Russell. Thanks for joining us here on Wall Builders Live.
We stand undivided, forever united, fighting.